Welcome to Mobile Armor Radio, the podcast for all things mecha. Jump ship incoming.
Welcome to Mobile Armor Radio. This is episode 71 of the show, all about mechs, mecha, anime, things with giant stompy robots. My name's Rob.
I'm Brian.
I'm Chopper.
We're here to talk robots. And
yes.
And their kin.
Yes. But yeah. Anything going on? Anything to talk about in the pre-show? I know Brian wants to get out of it.
There's not too much. I mean,
it's just kind of that post-Adepticon lull. I know you guys have had a lot going on.
We had intermediate stuff that have taken us away from Mechavi. Yes.
We can say we went to Lake Geneva and had a weekend of
RPG. A nerd away.
Yep.
We had a nerd away.
Close we got to any kind of mechs, though, was Cyberpunk, I guess, but there was no mechs in it.
There's no mechs. We did toy with the idea of playing with some Alpha Strike, but I don't know why we didn't.
We never got around to it. Yeah.
There were a lot of times we just didn't get off the couch.
Yeah. Well, we were playing all day, so we didn't we didn't play all night either. So. Anyways, I guess with that preamble, we'll get to the actual show. We'll go to the dropship.
Sounds good.
Dropship landing.
Welcome to the dropship. The dropship is brought to you by John Bear Ross still. He's no longer doing his Patreon, but we want to support him still. All his past projects are still available on My Mini Factory. You just search for John Bear Ross, and the link will be in the show notes. We thank him for being a loyal sponsor and friend of the show. He's also
still contributing mech designer. He hasn't. Did he just put one new one up?
Yes, he just he put up. It's called the Cazador Terror Mech. I'll post pictures. Here's some pictures of it. It is pretty crazy.
Crazy.
Of course, my computer doesn't want to pull up pictures anymore. Oh, there it is. There's the Terror Mech in all its glory. You can see the big skull pauldron.
Oh, but terror.
Demon head and spiked armor. He looks pretty cool. Yeah, he couldn't stay away. He said he did enough on his writing that he could splurge and treat himself to a design. So he created this monstrosity. It's pretty crazy. So yeah, thanks John Bear Ross. So, yeah, I know he's a loyal listener too, so I'm glad he'll hear us.
Yeah.
But we'll see when he puts that out for release, where he puts it out and how. So find that out in the future. Yeah. Other than that, we'll start with... Well, I know Patch's done absolutely nothing.
So let's just get me over with then.
Yep.
Yeah, I've done nothing.
You bought the stuff from Adepticon, didn't put any of that together?
No, because...
Ignition core?
So literally we had, what is it called, 2 weeks?
It was like a month. Or a little worse?
No, between Adepticon and when we...
Went away. It was a month. Yeah. It was almost a full month, Pat. You had lots of time.
I guess I didn't do it. But then, you know what? No. Because what had happened is I was...
You put together your gaming table.
Yeah, I was reorganizing my basement in anticipation for the gaming table, which came during Adepticon. And then I put it together and still reorganized everything. So,
do you want to explain your gaming table to people who don't know what it is?
Yeah, so I put a picture up of it on somewhere. I forget where I put it up. It might be on my Facebook page. But it was a Kickstarter by Project Ironside that I forget what they called it. Oh, no, it was Cloud something in the tables Project Ironside. Basically, it's a 6x5 or 3x5 gaming table, which you can expand if you buy extra legs and arms. But it's... It was designed in the what's the word I'm looking for? In the God, I can't help it. It was designed to be like easy to assemble, like IKEA furniture, basically.
Yeah, but it's modular. Modular,
but it was modular. It's made out of metal.
It came flat packed, so it was nice and compact when it got to you.
And on all honesty, if you have the right, they give you an Allen wrench, which is crap. Just like IKEA, the Allen wrench that comes with it, it's crap. So I bought an extended ball Allen head wrench that wanted to ratchet, and I put the thing together literally in about 30 minutes by myself.
It's really nice. It's all metal. It's got little cup holders that hang off the sides.
Yes.
Just went to the site. That does look like a really nice table.
And the best part about it, it's only $399 or $400.
It's about, like, you get those, what are they called? The wormwood ones. I think it's wormwood, isn't it? Where they're like $6,000. This is only
$4,000. I think even the cheapest 3x5 is around $2,000. So if you're looking for a game table, like, this is a good alternative, and it's a good playing space when Jack and Rob came over for our little nerd away. We played a ton of games on it.
Nice, solid. It was
comfortable.
Yeah. It's not an ad, by the way. We just really like to.
It's not an ad. We're just talking, but that's where all my time went in the coming weeks, was making sure everything was organized, so there was a nice gaming space around the table.
I'll have to keep an eye on it. That does look like a really nice gaming table.
It is a nice gaming table.
I was like, knowing it's metal, you think it's going to be wobbly like a metal tables are, but it was it was solid as a rock. So I was.
And you can get different mats. It comes with adjustable feet. Yeah. What'd you say?
Different mats that you can put for the
table. Yeah, you can get different color mats on it too. Or you could just get, you can fit any neoprene mat on it that's a 3x5. But you can get two more of the shorter extenders, and then you can make it a 6x5 table.
Yeah.
So which eventually is what I'm going to do.
So you can play actual full war games on it?
Yeah, I got the three. I think I went with the base set because I wasn't sure what to expect. And I didn't want to put a lot of money into it.
It was good size for like certain games, but the moment we played at Star Trek Ascendancy, that thing took up so much space. We ran out of space quick.
Yeah, but that's because we also had the player area itself is fairly large.
Yeah, so we had to keep moving people's stuff. Yeah.
So, but the good news is that you can get, or you can either make yourself, which I'm planning on doing, little additions that'll fit on the side because you can get cup holders and all these different things. I want to make like a little player shelf.
Yeah, so you could put like boards.
So you could put your stuff on there, yeah.
But it's a nice table, anyways. So at least you got that done.
Yeah. So, but that's my goal now. Is now that all this is done, I don't have much to do till Gen Con. I don't have any
play games on the table. Well,
yeah, I don't have anything to do for Gen Con, painting wise. So I'm gonna try and knock out some other stuff. I did put together. Re-put together some Star Trek ships for Starfleet Commander.
You found all your old metal ships that destroyed.
And they took a beating in a box. And it took a while to put together.
You didn't put any foam or anything in that box. You just threw them in a box?
I did. Well, you know, because at that point I was in a frame of mind that I was never going to play again. Of course, you know, when you just say you're never going to play again, a year later you go, oh, I got these. And oh, now they're trashed. And they weren't, and they were done by Mongoose, so they weren't the best cast. There was a lot of air bubbles in some of them.
So, yeah, like air bubbles in like where the nacelles connect to the
In metal, so
it made them real fragile.
So,
but you're slowly putting. Did you find all the pieces for them?
Yeah, they're all put together now. I just gotta patch up the parts that were all damaged and stuff.
Yeah, paint wise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Brian, have you done anything since our last talk?
Trying to think. I did confirm that I do have the right size magnets for my ignition core mini. That was fun to check out. I also got some new super glue so I can put it together. I'm kind of in that post-Adepticon hobby slump, which I usually get into. But I've been 3D printing a bunch of stuff. I got my printer back on track, and there's some new terrain that I'm working on printing out. A coach at from Family Gamer 777, friend of the show, pointed out a special infill design called Lightning, which I was unfamiliar with at that point. and it's makes things that are otherwise designed to be like pure solid to suddenly like they can be hollow on the inside and just fill in where they need to.
Yeah,
And
that video was really interesting because he did like stress tests and stuff on it, and it's amazing how strong it still is with, I don't know what percentage it was he did.
that's the stuff that I was printing too.
Yeah.
Was that same rock terrain. So
And
yeah, that was the majority of hobby time. It's mostly turning into take care of lawn time.
yeah,
So
it's that time of year.
yeah. So yeah, otherwise, sadly not a whole lot to report on my side, but I do, at some point I kind of want to get back into the hobby gear and start painting and getting stuff done again. Someday. Soon.
Someday. For me, my buddy Jack, we were just talking about, he gave me the Throne Zui from Gundam Double Zero that I assembled. It's a Gundam kit, and it was pretty fun. It's pretty poseable, and his big weapons and big jets and stuff. So he's a fun kit, but it
Yeah,
was
Double O had some great mech designs.
he's very orange.
He's very
But yeah, it was fun. I haven't done a Gundam kit in forever, so it was fun to get back
Yeah.
into doing those kits. And yeah, I don't think I screwed them up at all, which is unusual. Usually I lose something or I break something, so I didn't do either of those.
Nice.
The other thing I did put my ignition core together. I don't think I mentioned I bought it, but I actually put it together. I made my Mobile Zero. Is it Mobile Zero? That's what it's called. With
I
all the
forget
different.
the.
Yeah, I think he's Mobile Zero. But all the different weapon options with magnetize plus the two pilots. So he's got tons of different ways he can be used. And I do like in the game, you can switch it out on the fly, which is kind of fun. So he's all magnetized up. And I also did my Nephilim, the whole Strike Force. They're pretty
Nice.
fun. I'm amazed
Yeah,
how big
I
they
need
actually
to.
are.
I know. I need to finish up my
Like I'm a
Oni one.
yeah, like these guys are big, like they're quite
Yeah,
large.
the big support mechs are ginormous, or the
Yeah.
big mech is ginormous, and the support mechs are not tiny either, but
Yeah, like these are my support mechs are. Yeah, they're very cool.
How do
I
you
think.
feel about
What's up?
how's your jump ship?
Oh yeah, my jump ship. It was cool. It's like a representation of what would it be. Like it doesn't actually fit the guys, but. I liked it. It's yeah, I can't wait to paint those guys up. I got all new paints from Pat, so I'm going to
Nice.
paint those up soon. But that's about it. I've been working on it. It was more than usual, but yeah, I just assembled a lot of stuff, but I haven't painted anything. Since I did those mechs last time, so. But the one thing that's got away that I would have been working on is I wanted a Voltron from Target, and it was not to be. It was sold out. Or they didn't have stock yet. It's kind of
We
up in the air.
tried. We tried.
So if anybody knows, like I look keep looking on Target site because I'll ship it to Pat, but no, it's not available. But yeah, it was the re-release, the 40th anniversary of Voltron. It was like the original toy. They re-released it. Playmates has. It's very cool.
Nice.
I don't want to spring for those super expensive ones, but it's pretty fun, and I wanted it, and it's not to be mine yet. Someday, maybe the 50th anniversary, I'll get the Voltron.
Someday.
But it's not to be yet, unfortunately. I would have that was one of my drop ship. I've been talking about my Voltron and showing him off and playing with him. Nope.
Me too.
I even left room in my luggage. It was not to be. Oh well. On that sad note, we can go on to Comstar. We have a bit more to talk about there.
Message from Comstar.
Welcome to Comstar. We're going to be talking a bunch of news for me. I might as well start with the news. I'll just show everything off. First things first, I have a little audio visual aid here. It's the Transformers 1 trailer popped. Anybody excited about Transformers 1?
I am.
It does look fun. Some of the characterization, I think, is they're making a jump to a different audience, I kind of feel like.
And it's the line continuity, which is not the original one. It's the one where they changed a lot of the backstory. So that's the only thing I don't like. Like Orion Pax and Megatron, whatever his name was before he was Megatron. They were friends
were they,
in the mines.
They were buds.
Yeah, they were miners. It's like slightly different than the original version. And yeah, but it looks fun. It looks like it'll be funny. At least it has some, and the at least they're, it doesn't look like Bay Transformers. It looks like actual Transformers. So I'm sure I'll watch it. I don't, I see it's going to theaters. So that's the cutest thing. They were actually putting this out in the theaters.
It kind of reminds me of like some of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle stuff that has come out lately. Like that style of character interaction and stuff like that. At least again from the trailer, which is not long,
but I think you get the idea.
You get the gist of it. Yeah,
they get their transforming cogs and become real Transformers. And I assume by the end you see that much like Magneto and Professor X or many other examples, Megatron and Orion Pax will have different ideas of how to go about change in the
They were the best friends.
They, because obviously, eventually.
They were the best of friends. They were the worst of friends.
Eventually, one is leader of the Autobots and the other one's leader of the Decepticons. So.
Yeah. I do like the story version that the comic book we were reading. What was it? Image? Was it
Megatron?
Image?
No, it was. It was. Now you messed up my brain. It was IDW.
IDW, that's right.
Megatron Origin, where he was the miner and he, and Gladiator. Yeah.
And then turned Slave Revolt.
Yeah, that's. I think that's what's gonna. It's kind of combining that plus there's Quintessons in it, so it's also combining the Quintesson invasion of Cybertron, I think, too.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's where it's going. You do see a lot of the classic, like looks of people. You see Starscream and Soundwave and people like that. So I think they're gonna have everybody in it eventually, and it should be fun. Hopefully, it will be fun. That's all we want.
It does look like, if nothing else, it is presenting like a fun, fun time.
It's not taking itself too seriously, or it's also not making like. Being too jokey, I don't think. I think it's pretty. The voice cast is crazy. Like they, instead of using actual voice actors, they're all like famous people. So that's a little weird. like, why would you hire Thor and he's not doing a Thor voice? Like he's using some American voice. Like it's so weird.
They do that every once in a while. Disney does that quite a bit too.
Well, it's Hasbro. So, but yeah, it's odd that they don't. I guess. By this point, Peter Cullen and Frank Welker and those kind of guys are getting pretty old, so their voices would be way too old for young character, young versions of themselves. Yeah. So, I guess it's fine. They're doing like the Mario movie or Sonic and all those where they get the stunt actors just to get names on the, so people are like, oh, Chris Hemsworth, like, let's go.
Idris Elba as Knuckles.
yeah, that's right.
Is he really Knuckles?
Yeah. He's actually really into it, which is neat.
I haven't watched.
Does he have a British accent? Does he like use his real accent, or does he use the American accent?
Did he use his wire
accent? I actually haven't seen the Sonic movies, but I know he was really into it.
He uses his wire accent.
Yeah, or Cyberpunk. He did. I think he did American accent in Cyberpunk too. But his real accent's cooler. Anyways, that was that. The other thing that I want to discuss. Just a quick one. Toy, or what's it called now? It's not Toy Galaxy. It's something else now. They have a different name now, but the link will be in the show notes. They did the history of Macross. They do histories of like all these different toys and animes and cartoons and stuff, and they're really in-depth. So if you want to know how Macross started and all the history behind it, it's really interesting. Like a lot of it I'd never even heard of before. You know, you're so used to hearing about Robotech because they brought it over. The actual history of Macross is pretty interesting also. So it was fun how it came about and the different visions that eventually formed Macross. So it was a good video. The other thing, there is a new Kickstarter for something called Mechborg and Steel Psalm. It's based on Morkborg. I don't know if anybody, either you guys ever play Morkborg?
I don't think so. It sounds familiar though.
It's a Swedish RPG. I guess it's It's like a heavy metal RPG, they call it. It's high on character death and
midnight.
pretty crazy. But yeah, it's a mech role playing game. It's got like it's in Canadian dollars. It's got 165,000 US out of 8,000 gold, so it's not bad.
8,000 gold?
An 8,000 gold.
Oh, there, I thought you were still in Dungeons & Dragons mode.
No. At the time of recording, 16 days to go and almost 2,000 backers. So it was interesting. I was like, oh, that's... I'm not sure if I want to play Morkborg or a Mechborg, as it's called. I don't know the difference between... It's two different designers. One does Mechborg and the other does the Steel Psalm. So
I like Morkborg just because it sounds funny.
Morkborg.
It means
Morkborg.
Definitely sounds like the Swedish chef. Morkborg.
It means dark fort in Swedish. And then the other big Kickstarter is our boy, Cameron.
Yeah, got man.
Payday, Redline Payday. It's doing quite well out of its...
Right? You find it pretty quickly, if I remember it.
First day, I think he was almost 200%. He's at 15,000, almost 16,000 of a 7,000 goal. 16 days left also. He's got 165 backers. I'm a backer. Are you a backer?
I am a backer.
But it's good. Going for all the miniatures and stuff, but he's doing well, so... Can't wait for Payday to come out. That's it's good that seems like he's doing good on it after all the delays and stuff. So I think his computer died right at last second. It was supposed to launch on April 1st.
But,
as a joke, the computer died.
So, April Fools.
It launched on my birthday, April 16th. So it it looks good. So back Payday if you can back it for the original stuff and plus the new expansions. I'm really excited about the mercs, so I can't wait to play them. I think that's it for the news. Anybody
speaking
done?
Of
yeah.
Speaking of the 1st of April in a not joke, the big RX 78 Gundam in Japan has been retired. Mm-hmm. They've been in the process of disassembling it. It was really neat. I'm kind of sad that I didn't get a chance to
me too.
Get over there and check it out in person.
They have other ones, but not ones that move like that.
Did they say why
The unicorn, I think, is...
I would assume that you got to pay the rent on it. Plus, I think the maintenance. Can you imagine maintenance on that thing? It'd probably, it'd be expensive to maintain it in the weather and everything, so...
Yeah, considering that it is just kind of a nerdy hobby kind of thing.
Well, it's big in Japan, but still not that,
It is big in Japan, literally.
I think everybody in Japan who wanted to see it saw it, I'm sure, so.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's all the rest of us who don't get to Japan every day didn't get to see it.
Yeah. But, it had a pretty good run. I'm trying to remember how many years it was actually up.
It was quite a few.
Quite a few.
I think probably when we started the show, we were talking about it, I think. So
probably.
It's been like 5 or 6 years. But
so,
good
on you, RX 70.
Yeah.
RX 78. You were awesome and a feat of nerdy engineering.
Maybe they should do something else now.
Yeah. I imagine they will. I think something's probably in the works because I think it was probably pretty successful for
him. I wonder who did it. Like, was it a separate company or was it actually, I don't know, who owns Gundam anymore?
It was Bandai.
Bandai owns it?
Bandai Sunrise? Who owns the Gundam statue?
Because
in Detroit, what?
In Detroit.
If it's an independent company, they could get a license for another one. Maybe get, Escaflowne or...
That would be pretty sweet.
No,
or a Macross.
Eat the Earth.
Another big one. Yeah, like Macross would be the biggest one, I guess, that they didn't do. But it was very cool. I think next one, maybe they just redo 78, but this time's freestanding, so it can just walk on its own. Put some weapons on it. Japan can take over the world. But
it was really cool.
Any other news, Pat? Do you got anything? You said you haven't done much.
No, I spent a lot of time prepping for Nerdaway that I didn't do anything but D&D for like weeks.
Yeah, I didn't read any books or anything. Yeah, I haven't. Well, I'm still reading the BattleTech books. I'm still going through them all, but I'm just on the reconstruction of the Free World League. They're all coming back for the Ulcan era. So Brian, anything? Anything you've watched or played?
You'll be happy to know I finally finished a game. I finished up at least the main story for the Horizon Forbidden West, which did end on a big I'll spoil it too much, but like lots of big stompy giant robots fighting one another,
Nice.
and more to come. Like it definitely teased for a sequel, and I do hope they make it. It's a pretty fantastic a little game franchise that kind of in a time of where everything was sequels, it like was its own thing, and it's continued to evolve that story in a really neat way. So, because it like all takes place kind of on the West Coast, so like you're in the San Francisco area and whatnot with all your giant robot dinosaurs. So, what's not to love? So, but yeah, I finished that off, and then I've also started reading, and I can't confirm if this has giant mechs in it, but I know it takes place in space. I've started reading The Sword and the Cipher by Riley O'Connor, which is published by Zemok Books, which is part of the brand from the Winged Hussar publishing guys. So I was able to pick up a copy at Adepticon and actually got it signed by Riley,
Nice.
which was really neat meeting up with him. And but it takes place kind of in a sci-fi, looks like there's an element of intergalactic space trade and all sorts of stuff like that. Starts off pretty strongly where our main character's like home fleet has been like decimated by some attack by a faction. So yeah, I'm pretty excited to dive into it. I think there was like hints of that it was tied at one point potentially to like a Beyond Antares line, but I
And
think
then when that line died, they just separated it out.
yeah, I think so.
Most of
That
that
said,
line's being incorporated into Dead Zone now, so.
yeah, so so it's pretty neat. I'm really into it and digging it. So excited to check that out more.
Cool. Look forward to hearing a full report.
Yes, in several months.
Yeah,
It
that's
takes me a
good.
long time to read.
Savor that story. I did forget about another trailer of this Atlas with God, what's her name? Who's the actress, Pat? You watched the trailer.
We did?
Yeah. Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, yeah, that thing. I was.
It's a Netflix movie. It's got a giant mech in it, though.
It does in an AI, and but
Yep.
Jennifer Lopez is the
She
mech pilot.
seems like she's a non-combatant who ends up in this.
Spoiler alert, Jennifer Lopez is the mech pilot.
Yeah, her name's Atlas, but she's not a mech pilot, I don't think. But so her and this AI mech have to join forces to survive on a planet, it looks like. So we have a mech movie, a full movie with
No,
big stars.
she has to fight the AI, and she's the only one that I think thinks like it or something like that. I remember right, but they're going after the bad AI.
Well, I don't know, but she's
Bad AI.
she's in a mech that has AI anyways, but
Yeah, which she doesn't trust.
well, who would? But anyways, it looks like a buddy cop with a mech and a girl, so
There you go.
It's going to be on Netflix, so I'm sure I'll check it out just because, hey, it's got a giant mech in it. But that's a good sign. There's a movie of like a big movie that has a like with a big star that has a mech in it. So is this the future? Are we going to see more movies with big giant stompies in them?
The distant future of
The mech looks
2024.
a lot like a Strider, by the way.
It does.
It looks a lot like a
Love
Strider
it.
from Dead Zone. So yeah, it should be a fun movie. I forgot to mention it because we saw the trailer. But looks like a lot of action. Other than that, anybody else got anything else?
Nothing.
Okay.
Well, Fallout has been pretty well received. There's power armor and kind of
It's true.
power suits
I haven't
and that
started
stuff.
watching yet, but Fallout looks fun. And it's a big resurgence in the Fallout brand because of the TV show. We'll go to the mech bay hangar then. Let's get out of here and talk about our main subject.
Yes, do we?
Yeah.
Now entering the mech bay hangar.
Welcome to the mech bay hangar. This one we're have a we haven't done like a list of just our favorite things in a while, so I decided we're going to do a list of our favorite big ships from mech anime. Or Woo-hoo. Mech-related anime, or whatever. Big ships.
Just mech-related, because I don't have a lot of anime.
We're, not necessarily from anime, from anything. From media, from mech media. But we do like big ships, and we cannot lie. See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but can't deny.
I knew I would finish it. Brian, you go first. What is your first ship that you like to ship?
Sure. So the first one on my list, admittedly, I did just kind of go with anime for a lot of my picks. But I threw out the Macross Quarter from Macross Frontier.
It's cool looking, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's basically it's a scaled down just like a battleship in the same design as like the SDF-1. It's services mostly just a you know flight crew of combined.
It's just a quarter the size of the SDF-1.
Is that why it's called a quarter?
and over the course of the show, like it's the main you know ship that our heroes are working off of. Which you know flies around to protect the main city ship, which I'm trying to remember what it's called in Frontier, if it's actually called the Frontier.
It even transforms.
Yeah.
Does it transform? Yep. Oh, yeah.
It transforms. It has a really awesome...
The bridge
like,
does look like a head, so I assumed it transforms.
Spiral cannon that one of its launch arms turns into. So
you can see a giant cannon there for sure.
It's a really fun one, and the crew itself is also a great collection of characters. The helmsman is this really boisterous character. The leader of the flight group just really loves the band Firebomber, and so their attack formations are named after the Macross 7 band's songs. There's several Zentradi that also serve aboard the ship as well. So it's kind of a combined race species one, which is really cool. And yeah, it gets a lot of action during the show. And it's just a really cool ship.
Cool.
Yeah.
Pat, what is your first ship?
My first ship. is going to be in no particular order, I guess. I'm just going to go in the order that I sent them to you. And the first one will be the Excalibur dropship. From Battletech. It's an Innosphere dropship. but it was one of my favorites, one in using in Battle Force, yeah. Because it allows you to bring in up to 90 heavy vehicles, three lances, and a ton of battalions of infantry battalions.
So you want to bring in a bunch of guys. You get
it's just a giant arsenal. It's got
and it looks like an egg.
It does. It looks like an egg, but you. But it looks small, but it's really ginormous when it hits the ground.
Yeah. You know, the one behind your head is a Union one. That's a different one. But this one is a little bit more oblong.
Yeah.
But dropships are fun.
Yeah. So
we should name a segment after them.
Just the fact that it's got 90, can carry 90 heavy vehicles in it and 12 mechs. That's a ton of forces.
Yeah. I always think when I read about these things, I always think, like, you imagine the size of something that, and to see it take off, it must have been amazing. Like, you know, like it'd be mm-hmm. so, like the rumble from it and stuff. But they describe them as pretty much skyscrapers that can fly. So,
yeah,
it's pretty amazing that we'll probably never have a dropship like this, but it'd be cool.
Yeah, and it's got a ton of weapons, so it can fend for itself as it's coming in the atmosphere against aerospace fighters. Yeah, you know, it's got an EC-5, it's got 5 LRMs, it's got 3 lasers, 10 medium lasers, two PPCs. It's just...
Yep, they...
It's crazy.
It's like a mobile fort. A mobile Morkborg, as they say.
Yeah.
Morkborg.
And this is, I think, after reading about it a little bit, it replaces the Colossal style, or Colossal class. That's the word I was looking for. The Excalibur class, the Colossal class dropship, which is roughly the same thing, but I don't think it carried as much.
Yeah. So you like the egg ones more than the aerodynamic ones?
I do, because you know, when I think dropship, I don't think, you know, personal yacht craft. I think of planetary takeover with dropships. That's what I think of.
Mm. The ones that set down and then they don't leave.
Yeah, they leave to leave, but they don't leave to go to the next island. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're not island hopping.
Fun.
So,
well, my first one is called a Invid Carrier. Big clamshells. The clamshells of Invids. And I just love them from the show, because they just open up and like thousands of Invids would just pour off the decks. But they literally are just like what are they called? What do women have with the cameo? With the mirror in the...
It's a pocket mirror.
Yeah, and it just like opens up.
Yep. Or a powder case.
Yeah, and it just pops open and all the little bug guys fly out. Invid are creepy at the best times, but these things, I liked in the show, every time they'd show up, it would just be like, oh, it's over. We got this huge fleet of Invid coming. So that is my first choice. We're back to Brian. What you got, Brian?
So the next one, it was kind of my Gundam pick. And I got to say, I am actually a huge fan of the Nahel Argama. Which is, I think it first appears in Double Zeta, but is later seen in Gundam Unicorn. And it's just a really like fascinating design to me, and really captures kind of like the evolution of the aesthetics of the show, where, you know, it kind of starts off as like, you know, toys that you can use, and then they start like it goes into like the really nerdy things that Gundam does well, which is like, well, in space, you know, your axis doesn't make much difference with, you know, weightlessness and gravity. Yeah. So we have you know, mobile suit decks on every like side of angle. This thing. There's there's three off the top, there's two off the bottom, and there's one off the back. Like, and so it does just that idea of like that you could launch from both,
doesn't matter,
sides. And you know, a nice set of armaments to you know, with the, you know, they always got the big hyperparticle cannons and all sorts of beam weaponry and whatnot. It takes a pounding throughout, you know, its service, and but I really dig it as a ship. I think it looks really cool, where it still has that kind of classic color scheme that you see like from the Pegasus class,
the white base,
you know, of white base, and
it does look like a souped up version of white base. It's just like, white base has two. Okay, we're gonna put four things sticking out of it.
And the captain, at least in Unicorn, Otto Mitis, he was a fascinating character as well, and the whole crew was a great cast of characters. They're kind of off and on in the story for Unicorn, where sometimes they're actually kind of antagonists to our hero, and then, you know, later kind of they help rally the folks on it, and so it just kind of serves that really great space of that series being kind of this big flagship for the Lando Bell forces.
Yeah, it's very cool looking, classic, classic Gundam. Pat, I have a feeling I know what your number two is.
Yeah. Well, you took the Invid carrier. I went with the Invid super carrier because I thought the Invid super carrier looked cooler than the regular carriers. So the Invid super carrier is a large starship, looks like a giant spider with many eyes. And it was the flagship used by the Invid Regent and kind of hung around Opter where the Invids were come from. And came out of hiding to ambush the REF and basically was destroyed when Britai assaulted the supercarrier. And I forget who destroyed it, though. Whose ship blasted it with a synchro cannon?
Admittedly, I don't recall.
Yeah, that's an old one. So, but anyway, the supercarrier ended up getting destroyed, but. You know, it dropped in bit like you wouldn't believe, too. But it didn't come out of a clamshell. But this was the boss's flagship.
Yeah, I had the wrong one at first. But yeah, the super carry with the... it's disturbing looking.
I like it.
Yeah.
When I saw it, you know, because it only makes one or two appearances. In the
yeah, I was going to say, there's not many pictures of it. There's yeah. I think this is the only picture of the.
Yeah, it only makes very quick. But when I saw it, I was like, "Oh, look at that thing!"
Because the other Invid flagship is like looks like Starrio. It's a big starfish.
So. Yeah. But this thing, I was like, "Oh, this is menacing." This is why I like the Invid.
It looks like a giant Invid, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. It's creepy.
So, but that's my number two.
Nice. My number two is. Can't remember what it is now. My number two is from a little known show called Transformers. I chose the Ark.
Robots in disguise.
Most of the time, you see the Ark, you just see its ass end stuck in a mountain. But in later stuff like the Netflix show, you actually see the Ark. They fly around in it and go different places. They actually use the ship.
Yeah, I think you see it in the. The latest Transformer with the Beast guys.
Oh, really? I refuse to acknowledge those movies as Transformer movies. Sorry.
Well, the thing is, I think they... Because I thought one of the cool things was like, oh, they actually used the ship.
Recently, they came out with a giant toy of it that transforms. But once again, shouldn't transform. That's weird. But yeah, I just love the Ark because, hey, that's where Teletran 1 lives. That's where the computer...
Teletran 1.
That creates all the Transformers being able to transform.
And Sam Witwicky has unfettered access.
Well, yeah, they just kind of show up at the place. In the new comic, it's there too. I think recent, spoilers, but in the recent comic, I think it gets blown up. So we'll see goes.
And I think on the video game Fall of Cybertron, like you're fighting on the Ark at in the big finale, which is a really, really fun sequence where you're switching back and forth between Autobots and Decepticons.
No, you're fighting it yourself.
yeah, it's really cool.
That's cool. Yeah, I've always meant to play those games. I've never got around to it, but yeah.
Yeah, they're really solid.
So the Ark has been around, and I just love the good old yellowish orange golden color, and it's a funny little ship because it's just, you know. You wouldn't think you see like the Nemesis or whatever the other ship, the Decepticons come in. That's real menacing. And this thing's just a little like half circle. It's just a wedge.
It's just a wedge. It becomes but, the Autobot grave in the movie.
It's a movie. Anyways, the Ark.
A movie.
The Transformer movie.
Live action?
No, the cartoon.
Oh, the cartoons. Brian, you're number one.
Yes. So I didn't necessarily have an order to mine, but I did want to go with one that's slightly a little different, and that is the Crusade levy ship from Visions of Escaflowne. And you know, the thing I love about the Escaflowne series in general is the way it has a weird balance that it strikes between magic and like steampunk, and it just blends the two in this really fascinating way. And so what you have here is essentially it's an airship that's powered by these kind of dual gravity stones that they can like increase or decrease power to, and then they have just like literal sails to kind of help them steer.
Looks like a kite.
Yeah,
it looks like is a dragon. It's, if you look at the silhouette, it looks like a flying dragon. So.
Yeah, yeah. And so you know, it's essentially piloted with a big old, you know, big old wooden steering wheel like you'd see on a sailing ship. But it does have like a hangar and, you know, we'll call it a flight deck. Mm-hmm. For the Guy Malifs, the giant mechs of the series, to that can literally like walk out on that thing and jump off to deploy, and they have like just big old harpoon anchors if they need to like lock into a place. There's a lot of really exciting times in the series where this ship kind of comes into to feature as like a really dynamic elements in their forces. It's owned by the character Alan Shazar. It's kind of his ship, and so he assists our main character Vaughn and Hitomi. I shouldn't say main characters, like they're a pair, I guess. Hitomi's technically the main the main character of the series. But yeah, so it's kind of that fun thing. Like if you think about it in terms of like Gundam Wing, which is another show that was right on the same time, a very similar thing to like the you know, Maximilian Pegasus is the voice actor for mm-hmm. Did I say Maximilian Pegasus? Mm-hmm. The same guy voiced Alan Shazar that voiced Zex Marquise. And they're very similar in a lot of ways. But like it just hits on all the right beats that feels right at home in this franchise of giant mech robots that use magic and steam, essentially. And so I really love that ship. It's so cool.
It's also, I was looking at it, it looks very similar to the ship from Final Fantasy VII.
Like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, and Escaflowne came out quite a bit before it, so obviously that was a kind of a homage to it, because it, the...
Or influence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two propellers on the back, and that ship, it loses its wing, or its sails kind of early on, then you get the faster version, like it's... Yeah, mm-hmm. similar look, which is I thought was funny.
Cool. Yeah, it's Escaflowne is such a cool series.
Yeah, unique too. Like I still can't believe nobody's really done any more fantasy mech shows. Like that's it.
Shoji Kawamori, he knows his stuff.
Yeah, it's okay. Pat, your last pick.
My last one in the genre of anime. My other one that I remember quite vividly is the Sent Capital Carrier from Gundam Seed.
Yes, the big drop ships.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And what I liked about it, it carried all the pods on the bottom.
Yep.
And then it would drop the pods, and each pod could hold three MSs. And if I remember right, there were mostly DOMs that usually came up flying out of this. But I could be wrong. It's been a while since I watched Seed. But it's a good looking ship. It also...
Probably it's was DOMs.
Yeah, I think it was DOMs.
Yeah, they. It's definitely that color scheme.
Yeah, and it definitely fits that crab / scorpion / arachnid look with the little three legs on the side. Even though arachnids have eight.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool ship, and yeah, classic. I like how that. once again, it's always interesting.
Each capsule carries four mobile suits, and it looked like there's about, what, four or five? Like five in each capsule? Or each capsule in each pod?
Yeah, as I was saying, it's interesting how all these different ships, how they release their mechs from the ships. Like, it's some of them launch them off. This one just literally drops them at the bottom. And, yeah, it's like you get the other one where they have a deck that they walk out on. But yeah. It's always interesting how all the different ways that the creators have decided how the ships get to launched. But descent capsule says it all, because they're going to descend. Yeah. Cool. And for my last trick, I'm going to do the classic, which nobody mentioned. I'm amazed. The SDF-1.
Technically, I mentioned it.
Well, you mentioned it, but nobody chose it. And it's the granddaddy of them all.
I figured someone was going to take it. That's why I did not.
That's why Rob got all of our answers first, so that he could...
Oh, no, I already have mine chosen. But because this is a classic. And mm-hmm. when it first transforms, you're like... I remember as a kid, I was like, what the... And... Yeah, such a cool thing with the battleships as the arms, which just kind of gets stuck on.
I always loved that design a bit more than there's the Do You Remember Love redesign, which swaps the arms out for like the space carriers that they use. But I always loved the classic, different style aircraft carriers that they had as ships. In the bay.
Yep, and then eventually it sits on, crashes down, but it is a beauty of a ship, and SDF-3 doesn't have quite the feel. It's the SDF-1 is still the best of the SDFs.
It is. It's the OG.
Yep.
There's no denying it.
It did more than just like be a ship, right? Because it.
Yeah.
It's one thing to just, be a ship that transforms, but then it had things like the Daedalus maneuver where mm-hmm. it punches in and, a whole bunch of rockets.
Oh,
like
yeah,
it,
that was cool.
It really played with the design that they had at hand. It wasn't just, we have a transforming ship that's a giant robot and it has a big cannon. How cool. Yeah. Like, no, like they really went
they,
to town.
They with went with it, yeah. Plus it had a whole city inside, so. You gotta keep those people safe. I love when it transforms too, and all the things are moving, and people are getting crushed everywhere.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah,
that's great.
This city it doesn't really fit inside this ship. But yeah, it's a beauty of a ship. One of the first big ships in anime, I would think, and it's a classic, as you can see. Mm-hmm. There it is. But yeah. Well, that was our big ship countdown. If you have your own big ship you'd like to shout out that we didn't mention, there's tons of them. White Base, I'm amazed nobody mentioned White Base, but Brian kind of touched on it with the better version of White Base.
Yeah, I was going to talk about it too, but we were talking about our favorites. And while White Base is cool, it was never really my favorite.
So if you have a favorite, comment below on the video or come to our Facebook group and discuss there. You can post pictures. I don't know if there's anything more to say about big ships.
They're pretty great.
They're pretty great. And they're almost every mech show has a big ship, so it's a classic of the genre, especially the space ones. The space ones all need it, so. With that, we'll hit the X-Vale, I guess, guys, right?
Woohoo!
Let's get out of here.
Let's exfil out of here.
And with that, we go to the exfil. We're almost done another month of Mobile Armor Radio.
I had one last thing that came to mind. If you go and happen to see the Gundam Seed Freedom movie, which should be coming out shortly after this episode airs, let us know what you thought of it. I know a couple of friends of mine are planning to go see it. Depending on my schedule, I might see. I know there's showings nearby. Like my local theater has a 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and might be the only show.
I think there's one showing around here.
I'm sure there is. Chicago's quite large. I almost guarantee there's none showing around me. So, but so I'm sure it'll eventually show up somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it'll be fun.
So yeah, comment below on anything we got wrong. That's always probably a possibility. But join the discussion on the Facebook group. That's where it mostly happens, I would say. Twitter a little bit, but Twitter's more for just, you know, causing trouble. That's what Twitter's for. So Facebook's a friendly place. We keep it we keep everybody friendly in our Facebook group.
So. At least in our Facebook group. I mean, yep. You know, there's those Facebook groups out there.
Well, that's right. Ours is pretty good. All the guys who post stuff, they're all always have something to discuss or look at.
Nice positive game.
I do love our community.
Yep.
Bunch of good people.
Shout out to our community. And and like, share, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. And until next month, I've been Rob.
I've been Brad.
And I've been Chopper.
We'll be back to have more mech related stuff in the in the heat of summer.
In the heat is on.
You gonna sing us out, Pat?
No.
Wow. So sad.
Mainly because I don't remember the rest of the lyrics.
Yeah. That's good. Bye. Say goodbye.
Bye.
This has been Mobile Armor Radio. Join our Facebook group by searching for Mobile Armor Radio. Find us on Twitter at MArmor Radio. Join us on the first of every month for more mecha discussion.